Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's time for the postgame show with Shope and the Bulldog.
Hi, everybody. The Bills win again. 14-7. What a great score, right? Like a throwback score. I watch all those old games, like the 70s. There's plenty of 14-7s in there.
Yeah. Yep. 14-7, this would have fit right in. 14-10. Yeah, right.
And you know what else you see less now than then? Kickers going 0 for 4.
Right.
You don't see a lot of that.
Right.
Bills have had good luck with other teams' kickers so far this year. Buffalo 4-1 off next week, and then 3 in a row at home, 2 against 2 of the league's worst teams easily, Miami and Washington. Right or wrong, if this team is not at least 6-2 through half its games, which would be the first time in at least 20 years they've had that record, it will be surprising.
Definitely true. Yeah, I mean, considering, you know, what you've got staring at you here, you know, all home games, it's the Dolphins and then it's Washington and Philly after that, or do I have those in
Philadelphia
the wrong order?
Is in the middle.
Philadelphia's before, okay. But still, two of those three, yeah, are obviously games that you have to, you know, sitting here now, feel good about. And then, you know, we'll see what happens with the Eagles. But yeah, 6-2 is in the window for sure.
6-2 is the window.
Yep,
I mean,
right.
If they're not 6-2, they will have lost to either the Dolphins or the Redskins on their home field.
And that would be pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what – there was so much on the line today, and it was so even. And you win another road game, you win another conference game, and then you have that. Their next road game is in 5 weeks. So, very, very good position. How good they are is secondary, and it's questionable. But – what matters is their record, and it's good.
Right. They are at least, I think, very good on defense. That, you know, look, Tennessee maybe can be challenged themselves offensively, but the Bills just did a great job of harrying who I think is a pretty flawed quarterback in Mariota, but they were all over him today, and the defense is, to me, good. Like, it's bankably good, if not great. 252 yards again today is all they give up. So I feel like sitting here watching this game while other games are going on around the league and, you know, scoreboards are going off and guys are throwing for lots of yards and stuff. And over the years that we've been doing this, in seasons that don't feel like this one because, you know, either the Bills don't look as good on one side of the ball or it's later in the year and you know the season isn't going to turn into anything. I've sat in here, and I'm sure on this show, and I'm sure I've written it too, just kind of lamenting this existence where we watch the most boring-looking game in the league each week. And today
we did that.
Is another game that's like that, but it doesn't feel that way to me because – the Bills' defense is so good that and the schedule is so favorable that 6-2 looks very realistic. And if you're 6-2, I know the back end of the schedule is going to be harder. Like, you are in a great, great position to make the playoffs, and you still have some time here. You know, you're not even halfway through. By 6-2, you'll be halfway through the season, and maybe your offense can find its way and come together and improve, really, because they need to improve on that side of the ball.
It really says something about how when you play your games can really mean a lot to, like, what you think your team is.
Right. If this game comes in week 11 and you're 4-6, we'd be like, okay, great, good job, thanks
whatever.
For coming. Right.
Draft pick.
Instead, it's, you know, to improve to 4-1, and it's another strong effort by the defense, and you're just sort of, I'm left just, okay, can my offense get me more points? Can they be counted on eventually? Because right now the answer seems to be no, although that's a very good defensive team they played today and last week too. And there, it's not like today there were a slew of mistakes. You know, there were penalties, but Josh Allen only threw one interception today, and that's an improvement. But I don't feel bored by – really, that's the point here. Like, the season, to me, is popping with possibilities.
Well, it's not meaningless.
Right.
To say the least.
I feel really good sitting here having watched a game that did not have a ton of action. You know, but you take what you can get. And right now – I'm enjoying watching that defense play. I'm looking forward to them getting back on the field when the Bills have to give up the ball. You know, I want to watch that defense play. They're really impressive.
Yeah, to think, you know, what the Titans are just, the Titans would make me crazy as my team. The fact that the Bills played them forced me to watch the Titans, and it's a headache. But the Bills just had last week an excellent day defensively against New England. So, I mean, there's no reason to parse it. I mean, the defense might be as good as there is in the NFL, and it's the main reason they are 4-1. Touchdowns from Lee Smith and Duke Williams, of course, the difference, or the offense.
Your stalwart standbys, Lee Smith and Duke Williams, who wasn't even on the roster until yesterday.
14-7 Buffalo over Tennessee. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This portion of the Bills postgame show along the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, brought to you by Independent Health. The Red Shirts at Independent Health, here to help our members get and stay healthy. See how at redshirttreatment.com. Your health, our help. That's the Red Shirt Treatment. Well, we're already into the playoffs, the playoff picture at least, and the next few games, the next 4 weeks even, looking at their schedule. As far as this game goes, Lee Smith, Duke Williams, the story of this game is missed field goals by Tennessee and penalties. There were a lot of important penalties called in this game right from the very first play, where Tennessee has a 28-yard pass wiped out by a holding penalty that had nothing to do with the play. Holding's holding. There were both teams for this. You know, there was a lot to wonder about and talk about from this game. Tennessee had two touchdowns called back on a drive in which they ended up not scoring. That was the biggest section of this game,
yeah,
for what eventually would happen, with the Titans at first and goal, 7-7 in the third quarter. You have a Derrick Henry touchdown run called back on a holding, and then Mariota's pass to A.J. Brown for a touchdown on third down is negated by a illegal forward pass penalty that was reviewed and held up. So then they missed the field goal from there because it was blocked officially. Daryl Johnson gets credit for deflecting that, the shortest of the field goals the Titans missed, and the Bills take over. And, you know, from there, it's Tennessee is unable to figure out anything on offense. So 14-7 is the final. We'll have Sean McDermott's postgame comments for you when they happen. His press conference is brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. We'll take your calls as well, 716-803-0550. In fact, I probably should lead with the toll-free number, since every fan I know is in Nashville.
Right.
1-888-550-2550.
Yeah, there were some ways to know that, just watching the game on TV. Although you probably knew it before the game even started, because chances are you probably knew at least one person who was there, or follow someone on social media who was there and showing pictures from last night and then this morning. Yeah, I think thousands of Bills fans in attendance at the stadium, and you could hear them. Look, Duke Williams is a clue that there were a lot of Bills fans in the stadium, because the first time he touched the ball before he scored his touchdown, he caught a pass, and you could hear the crowd yelling Duke, which is interesting to me because, again, he just got on the roster. I mean, we saw him in the preseason.
Most viewers would not have known who that was.
Right, right.
At the time of that catch, and the fans in the stadium,
right,
knew who that was.
So, like, you've got a a pretty obscure Bills player, and you can hear the crowd chanting his first name after he makes a play, that tells you, I think, in part, just what the crowd scene in there was like. You had, you know, cheering at odd moments. Missed field goals, and you hear cheering. Penalties on Tennessee, and you hear cheering. It was an odd watch, but awesome, and big ups to the fans who made the trip. I'm sure it was a really enjoyable time to be down there and be a part of kind of taking over another road stadium.
Yeah, I have heard a bunch of stories since Friday from Nashville. My sister is there. She texted me Friday night to say that Josh Allen's father just gave a speech at a bar that said Allen would play. This is before the Bills said Allen would play. just a lot of stuff like that. And what is it like for fans of the home team to witness that? I mean, Bills fans have always given themselves a lot of credit. They've gotten some credit, you know, beyond that. But I don't know how prepared places like Tennessee or Jacksonville or wherever else, Carolina might be another one, how prepared are those places for their stadium to just be taken over by Bills fans like that? You know, this is not New England. The Patriots play here, and they win it on that Jamie Collins interception last week, and there's a roar in the stadium, and like, well, they always win, right? I mean, the Patriots win the Super Bowl every year, and of course, every team that wins all the time has tons of fans. The Cowboys fans you knew in the 80s or the Bulls fans in basketball in the 90s, like, every dominant team has Lakers. Like, they always have all these fans that are, oh, you're a Lakers fan.
Right,
sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, they have fans that are even like local or regional anyway. It's not like they got to travel all the way from Boston, although I'm sure some people do that. But
that's the point.
Right, a team that's that good has a fan base sort of built in.
Everywhere.
Right? Buffalo,
that's the point.
Right.
So here you're in Tennessee and you're playing the Bills and like, okay, well, this is just a game. This is a winnable game on my schedule every year. And then the stadium is just like that. It's just so wild. I mean, it's great. It's great for all the people who went. This would be a very satisfying game for Bills fans to have gone to. I mean, it's not, you know, an exciting game in the traditional way, but you would have loved this game, right? You know, you love a game at the stadium when your defense is killing it like that.
Right.
And so just would have been a very satisfying day. Then you go down to the – what did John Murphy and Eric Wood say at the end of it? Like, they're just – sort of rushing down to the edge of the field.
The tunnel, and yeah, right. Sort of greeting the players as they leave the field, and they said they watched Josh Allen high-fiving, like making his way around the bowl from the field and just, you know, slapping high fives with people. And like, you just, yeah, you don't get that in a lot of road stadiums, especially with a team that's been to the playoffs one time in, you know, 18, 19 years.
Time for the Lotempio complete stats of the game. Lotempio PC Law Group, complete attention, complete answers, complete counsel. Josh Allen back from injury. 23 for 32, 219 yards passing, two touchdowns, Lee Smith and Duke Williams, one interception. His rushing was 10 for 27. The touchdown passes were good, if not relatively easy plays. I like the second one pretty good. That's a quick read and nice little easy route by Duke Williams. Allen sees it, throws the ball on the spot. The other one, you're watching on TV, you see a ball lofted like that, you think the guy must be wide open, and that was true enough, if that doesn't bother you.
Yeah, no, that was fine. Yeah. No, there was no one really, he had a lofted over a linebacker, thus the arc on it. But yeah, that qualifies as wide open.
Wide open sometimes.
Like, wide open alone in the end zone is wide open. You know, I might balk at that if it's on the field of play somewhere, but nonetheless, whatever. Yeah, so stats is where we're at here, right? Marcus Mariota on the day, 13 for 22 for 183. He was sacked five times. Three of those were by Jordan Phillips. Frank Gore led the way, rushing again, and really kind of helped seal the game late. The ground game didn't do much damage during the game prior to that final kill-the-clock drive. He ends up with 14 carries for 60 yards and a 4.3 yard per carry average. Receiving for the Bills, you've got John Brown with 5 for 75, and that was all pretty early. Like he was maybe even by halftime.
Yep.
5 for 75. Isaiah McKenzie had a big 46-yard catch and run. It was off one of those little shovel passes in the backfield. And that was a big play in this game. He goes 2 for 52. Duke Williams, first game in the regular season, 4 for 29 in the touchdown you already mentioned. As far as Tennessee goes, rushing, Derrick Henry, 20 for 78. Mariota scrambled for 13 yards on 5 attempts, and Deion Lewis had 2 carries for 11. Jonnu Smith had the big play for Tennessee in the passing game. It was his only reception. It was a little screen pass. It went for 57 yards. Adam Humphries caught 4 balls for 30 yards.
How about them, though?
It's just not a lot there.
I mean, they remind me of Bills teams from the past that you just –
yeah.
Hate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The quarterback is just not – I'm not – I don't see it. I mean, he's a high pick. There's a lot of talent in there. There's the great athlete, good runner. He just looks afraid to let the ball go. Like, everything – even good throws. He made a throw on the drive that ended, I think, on the blocked field goal where they scored twice but both got called back by penalties. He made a third down throw out to the right sideline where it just took forever, it seemed, for the ball to get there. And that's a throw that you should really, I think, just zip in there. But luckily the guy was open enough that the DB couldn't recover and get a hand on it. I don't see it with Mariota at all. He looks tentative to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be feeling great about him moving forward if I were them. His contract's up after this year, so we'll see what happens there. But today was not a good day for him at all.
Huge game potentially in the AFC playoff picture with the Titans. You know, all these AFC South teams were 2-2, and they lose this game. It's a conference game and a home game, and the Bills are now – this is a team they're now 2 games ahead of with a head-to-head win. So unless there's just circumstances and multiple teams tied, you know, you'd like to think with the schedule the Bills have that they can – freeze out the Titans for any wild card talk. It's the only team from that division that they will play, but very big. All right, we're gonna have Sean McDermott in a little bit. We got a little bit of a thing there, so we're gonna probably have him shortly, just not imminently. We'll talk to Bob here first. Hello, Bob.
Hey guys. So I was a little bit concerned when a lot of our players were going down, but I thought the defense really stepped it up. But one of the two comments I want to make is Tremaine Edmonds, second game in a row. That play that he sniffed out on the first and goal on Henry, it was a huge play, and that one batted pass. And he is just a beast out there. I was just so impressed with the way he's playing. And also Duke Williams, for him to step in. And I wanted to ask you a quick question. Zay Jones, how many snaps do you think he got today?
Maybe none.
I might have seen him coming onto the field one time, but I never noticed him. You know, I didn't see him on that play, which is why I'm sort of hesitant to say for sure. I know he was dressed, but I think Duke Williams basically took his spot, which is what a lot of fans were clamoring for last week. Jones got a lot of heat on this show after the game and on our shows during the week for not really, in my opinion, putting forth much of an effort on a couple of interceptions that Allen threw. You know, sure, they're bad throws, but your receiver can do a little bit for you if he makes an effort to come back and try to become a defender. You heard McDermott during the week make that point. That's about as harsh a criticism as you're ever going to get out of McDermott publicly of a player. And I think the end result was Duke Williams took his spot and took his playing time. And, you know, it just might be that they're better with Duke Williams on the field. Mostly anyone defending Zay Jones last week, to me, because of all the criticism I was levying against him, either told me the passes were bad throws. Inarguable. Of course they were, but that doesn't mean you can't make a better effort, and that he's a really good run blocker. I'm sorry, that doesn't mean you should play 50 snaps on offense for me. Like, you need to be able to make some plays.
Well, they threw it to him last week 8 times and amassed 4 yards, and he's not a lineman that is eligible right. That they just, for some weird reason, threw the ball to 8 times. I mean, that's just, the bottom line on that is not good. Williams was an interesting idea. This is what I remember from the early offseason when he was acquired. It was not like when everybody else was. He was not in the league. He was a CFL player. And people, I mean, how do you always do it? People, we all watch these games. And we also have certain people that we read or listen to that tend to shape what we sort of they affirm what we think we saw. Well, this person thinks that, and I think that, so I'm going to just go with that. I'm going to say that out loud. And Duke Williams was a guy I had never heard of, but I had people on my Twitter feed that I look up to in that way that were like, that's a very interesting signing. And so for me, that was enough. Like, I was like, okay, well, this is an interesting idea. And so he ends up on the team today like this and, produces. So good for them. I mean, the Bills have made a lot of these kind of moves where not everybody or not almost anybody is like big, big money. Morris, I guess, for his position is somebody like that. And, you know, they're a competent team. They're decent. And so that depth and that kind of quality, yep, that's what the GM is commissioned with. He didn't get Antonio Brown like I guess he wanted, or at least they wanted. So you got to just work it out. And these are the kind of guys that, you know, can make a difference for you. 14-7 is the final. Thanks for the call, Bob. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We'll have Sean McDermott's press conference for you when we return. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
There's the snap. And it's a jet sweep. It goes to Isaiah McKenzie on the run. McKenzie has some room down the right side. Inside Tennessee territory. Cuts to the middle. And he is brought down at the 14-yard line. Isaiah McKenzie finally stopped. A touchdown-saving tackle from Logan Ryan. McKenzie scooted around the right side and got big yardage that way.
That is our electric play of the game, and that's brought to you by Belknap Heating and Cooling. Go green, save energy and money with electric heat pump solutions from Belknap. That's Isaiah McKenzie. It goes down as a pass. It was one of these little shovel passes we've seen the Bills use a couple of times this year, and even going back to last year with McKenzie specifically, and he beat everybody to the edge and then raced up the sideline, tried to cut back, and was caught from behind on a guy, a Tennessee tackler, who had the angle on him. But that set the Bills up. Eventually, they would score the go-ahead touchdown from Josh Allen to Duke Williams and win the game 14-7.
It's none of the missed field goals made it play of the game.
As the electric play of the game,
this was the play of the game?
Yes.
I'm fine with it.
Yep. It was Joe's decision, really. I don't know. He's in charge.
Rank the missed field goals. The short one that was short, you don't see that a lot.
No.
Deflected.
Yeah, right. That got that a hand was on that.
Second one was the second worst because it was not as long and he hooked it. The first one and the last one. The last one was almost like just
what are you doing?
The last one
kicker
was probably a really terrible win probability call. You know, you're down 7 at that point.
Yep.
And it's whatever that was, 4th and 5, maybe, whatever that was. Just, and your kicker's 0 for 3. We right. talked to the Titans punter on Thursday, Brett Kern, who's from the Western New York area. And I'm from Grand Island. He's from Grand Island. I texted with people that I know from the island that work with the school and in the athletic department. Like, just what do you remember about Brett Kern? Guys that would have known him when he was in school. And one such source is like, you should have seen the guy kick field goals.
Mm.
And so here are the Titans. They lose their kicker before the season. Suck up. He goes on IR, and they've got this guy. At no point did they just – our punter who goes to Pro Bowls could kick field goals for us.
Yep.
I wonder if that ever was considered either by the organization or by the coach today. But didn't happen.
No.
0-4. The Bills win 14-7. We're going to have Sean McDermott, but we're not ready yet. As far as the standings go, New England wins easily in Washington, 5-0. Buffalo, 4-1. The Jets lose big. The Dolphins are off. They're both 0-4. The Jets were off last week. So those teams are just almost dead. You have Houston with a 53-point effort in a win over Atlanta today. They're 3-2. In the South, Tennessee 2-3. The other teams, the Colts. Oh, the Jaguars just lost.
Yep, so they're 2-3 as well.
So they're 2-3. Indianapolis, an 11-point underdog tonight in Kansas City. If they lose, they'll also be 2-3. Those teams then, 2 games behind Buffalo, which has division wins with the Jets and conference wins with the Titans. I mean, great shape.
Yep.
It's early still, but still great shape.
Right. Go ahead.
Kansas City 4-0, Oakland 3-2. Oakland beat Chicago in London today. The Chargers are down 14-0 at home to Denver, which is 0-4. in the first quarter. So that could even be relevant if the Chargers can't make a pretty good comeback there against the Broncos. And the 0-4 team, you think, should not threaten the Bills. They'll play later in the season. And then AFC North, Baltimore goes to overtime and beats Pittsburgh 26-23. Pittsburgh loses Mason Rudolph to a concussion in this game. The backup, none of us knew who it was. Devlin Hodges from Samford is the backup for the Steelers. He goes in. They put that game into overtime. I guess the Ravens make a field goal late to tie it and then win it after a turnover. Cleveland 2-2. Pittsburgh 1-4 with that loss. And then Cincinnati 0-5.
Right. So if Monday Night Football goes your way or the Bills' way tomorrow with Cleveland at San Francisco, you have no one who's the best wild card team outside of the Bills could be Oakland. Cleveland can tie them if they win and go to 3-2, but if they drop to 2-3, then Oakland would be a game back of the Bills in the wild card race, and everyone else would be two games or more behind. So you've got a two game cushion going into the bye on at least maintaining a wild card spot.
What are their playoff odds, actually, with that schedule? Wouldn't the Bills have like 80%? Just a wild guess, maybe like 80%? Is that ridiculous? Are we going to do it with the quality of the teams in mind? Like, I guess I probably should. That's what goes into the schedule analysis is like, well, look who they play. So you put the quality of teams. It's probably not 80, but it's over 50. It's got to be over 50. It's a nice lead. All right, we have Sean McDermott now from Nashville.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fans, great job. We pulled in on the buses, and I looked to my left, and a couple parking lots from here, and it was all Bills fans. It was awesome. Just awesome. So really appreciate that. The players felt it. The staff felt it. Good to get a win on the road. A lot of guys stepped up. We had some guys go down. A lot of guys were prepared, stepped in, and did a good job. A good team win. All three phases contributed. So with that, we'll open up to your questions.
Sean, is there something you could take from that? Just what your team, this was one of those endurance games, it looked like, all the way through, both sides. Do you come away with just a sense of maybe a little more of what your team is about and how proud you are of them now at 4-1, but under the circumstances of winning a game like
this? Yeah, it's tough to win, right? You know, we talk about that all the time, Vic. You know it. You've been around this league a long time. It's tough to win. It's tough to win on the road in the AFC against a good football team. This is a real balanced football team that probably was a whisker away from being 3-1. And to come down here, and we knew it was going to be close. We knew we expected this type of game. And the focus that our players had, I mean, it was sandwiched in between an emotional game last week and the bye. And so I thought the mental discipline, the focus, the energy that our players had all the way through the week and then in the game, we knew it was going to be a four-quarter game or more, and we executed at a high level when we needed to.
The pass rush today, particularly first half, third downs, like, you guys were getting home today. What you guys see something, dial something up that just kept working? Or
Just good preparation, really. The guys understood the game plan that Leslie and the staff put together. Good game plan, and then we had to make some adjustments in the second half. The guys just kept staying in there. They just kept playing real ball, as Frank Gore calls it. Just keep playing real ball. And so that's, they executed, and we got the win.
You talk about outside of the one bad throw, Sean, it looked like Josh played a much better, well, obviously, he played a much better game than he did certainly last week. Just give us your quick impressions of how he played.
Yeah, I'd echo what you said, Sal. He, you know, had the one throw, can't do that, bad decision. But again, what I saw was him move the football team on the ground, in the air. And then I thought our four-minute offense down the stretch with the offensive line, leading the way for Frank and TJ, just just gritty, tough football. And then Josh on the last play, being real smart football play right there. So good to see.
Decision, not a normal preparation week for him, just given the concussion protocol, but beyond what we can't see all week, was it a regular week of prep for him as a starter or different?
Yeah, I mean, outside of being in the protocol, I'd say a regular week, regular week.
Coach, with respect to Duke, the decision to bring him up, you know, a lot of times guy gets elevated. He's not a prominent part of the offensive game plan. So can you just kind of take us through the decision to elevate him and then make him a part of the game plan and then the way he came through?
Yeah, he did today. A good job. I mean, he did a good job. I'm sure there's some plays like the rest of us he'd like to have back, and he'll learn from it. It's one game at a time. I loved his juice. I love the toughness he brings. And he's earned it, right? The way he practiced, his behavior in terms of his habits, one practice to another, all the way through the first 4 weeks leading us up to this week. He made plays in practice and in the one-on-ones, and so he earned it. And so it's one game, so we'll just take it one game at a time, and it's important that he continues to improve.
Speaking of Duke, what specifically were you looking for out of him in these past 4 weeks of practice?
What was I looking for?
In order to, you know, for him to prove that it was time to call him up.
Yeah, well, he makes plays. He makes plays in practice, and when you can make plays in practice consistently, you know, making plays. So, you know, let's manage expectations, right? He's a young player, and I thought he gave us something today. We'll see what happens as we continue to move forward.
Coach, how thankful are you that the bye week is coming up here in light of all the guys that kind of went down?
Yeah, very thankful. What a blessing that is. A blessing to win. Give all the honor and glory to God. Blessing to be in this locker room with these men and women. Blessing to be going home. And really a blessing to have this the following of our fans here. I mean, that was incredible.
Sean, just jumping in here, but as for, you know, a defensive effort like that, you protect the football, but for the one interception, does that speak to maybe, I don't know if you'd call it a template, but an example of how to grind out?
Yeah, I mean, just we knew, like I said, we knew it was going to be this. We thought it was going to be, we expected a close game. We expected maybe some weather. We practiced in the rain this week because of it. We did some wet ball drills because of it. So we felt like we were prepared for whatever, you know, any of the elements that we would see, although it didn't really show up. We had a little bit of drizzle, but we expected a physical. Coach Vrabel does a great job. They're a balanced football team, all three phases. I mean, they've got a great punting game. They've got a great return game. I thought our special teams did a real nice job today, changing the game a little bit there, changing field position. Bojo did a really good job. Some key punts, again, changing field position. So we still have room to grow. We've got, it's, you know, game what now, five. So I take them one at a time.
Sean, any thought on your part? What's a win, obviously, but a little bit of luck involved. They missed four field goals. They had two touchdowns nullified by penalty. No, it's not all luck. It's, but whatever, do you feel a little bit fortunate that some of these breaks did go your way?
Yeah, you know, one of my great mentors, Jim Johnson, the late, great Jim Johnson, always said you need some luck, and he was right. So we'll take it when we get it.
I have also said that a lot, by the way. I'm not his mentor, far from it, but I believe that a lot of us have also said that. Luck is important. A lot of it has been on their side today and this year. Think of the Jet game and the kicking difference.
Yep.
In the Jet game too. I mean, 4-1, that's what matters. Sean McDermott there, the Bills over the Titans 14-7. Want to tell you again, his comments brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. We'll have a player interview along the way, but mostly we're looking for your calls. We're going to talk about the Bills' win, their season, and their chances. That's a big story right now with their record and what else is happening in the conference. 803-0550, or for the 500,000 of you that sometimes listen to us and we're at this game today, 1-888-550-2550. Probably not that big a stadium. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Sends everybody out. Pressure coming. They've got him. They've got him trapped back there, and he is sacked. Back at the 4-yard line, it is Jordan Phillips again. His second sack of the game. Jordan Phillips brought him down back at the 4.
That was his second sack. He would get a third. Jordan Phillips is our MVP of the game, and that's brought to you by Steve Foley Law, the MVP of your case. Settle for more. with Steve Foley Law. 5 sacks in all for the Bills defense on Mariota. Phillips, as I just said, had 3 of them himself.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The Bills are 4-1, winners in Nashville today, 14-7 in a game that all of you were at. We're with you until 6 Eastern. We're at 716-803-0550 or 1-888-550-2550. Next week, the Bills are off, then 3 in a row at home, Miami, Philadelphia, Washington, before their next road game in 5 weeks, 5 weeks from today at Cleveland. I assume that many of you will also be there for that game. Might be a tougher ticket. I don't know. But, you know, it's Cleveland. It's like about as far, barely farther than Syracuse.
Right.
You got to get there.
Not a bad drive.
That's right. Going to be good. Here is Carson with us. Hello, Carson.
Hey, thanks for taking my call again this week. So with the addition of Duke Williams to the active roster, that puts our wide receiver position to 7 players, which is higher than you would usually see for the Bills. And if you asked me, I would guess that that is not going to remain the case. So with Zay Jones underperforming and with there kind of being a lack of depth in the offensive line position, I'm just curious, you as the expert, because, you know, I'm still young. I don't really understand the game completely. But what would you expect this what decision would this franchise be making? What do you think is possible? Could Zay be part of a trade?
I doubt he's tradable, maybe, but I would just think he could get, you know.
He could lose snaps.
He could end up inactive, possibly.
Yep.
So I think that would probably be the a possible outcome.
Yeah, and we don't know how the decision was made here. I mentioned earlier that Sean McDermott did at least concur publicly with a certain level of the criticism that Jones faced for his lack of effort on a couple of interceptions last week against New England. I think McDermott said you'd like to see a guy do a better job turning into a defender, or words to that effect about Jones. And maybe that directly led to his being sort of replaced in the rotation. He was active for the game. Maybe he wouldn't have been if Devin Singletary could have been able to play. They wouldn't have had as many numbers at receiver as they did. But Duke Williams, to me, pretty clearly took his reps today, caught a touchdown, so I would expect that maybe would continue for the foreseeable future. They like Jones a lot. I would think that they'd try to give him a chance in practice to demonstrate that he's, you know, over whatever malaise he was in, if he was in one at all. But it's not trending in a good direction for him. He's not been a really productive player, and maybe they found a guy that can make plays for them in the passing game, and that's really what a receiver should be doing.
He already was not more relevant than the guys that they signed this year in Brown and Beasley. Brown and Beasley have been more relevant since they were acquired than Jones. So really we're talking about, I mean, look what they did to Foster too, just in the same way. Brown was playing more than Foster, but in the same way, like what they are at wide receiver, it starts with John Brown, or it starts with John Brown and Cole Beasley, but that's what they are at wide receiver. And then after that, you know, most teams maybe sort of just move guys in and out, or are not super relevant beyond that. A couple of the high octane teams are, you know, they have guys you can name in that spot, but, you know, a lot of teams don't.
Right. It'll be maybe something to watch here. You got the bye week coming up. Foster has been nursing an injury, and he was inactive again today. Maybe the next thing to watch when the Bills do play again 2 weeks from today is, if Foster is healthy, then what happens to Zay Jones? Does Foster pass him on the active list, and is that where Zay Jones ends up being inactive? I mean, it could be. We'll see.
He was their leading receiver last year, you know, overall, right? Or was it at least in touchdown catches he was, if not every other category. Foster had some big games there, we know. Justin is next. Hello, Justin.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling, Justin.
Hey. I just want to, you know, any Bills fan that might be on hold waiting to criticize any element of the game, I'm pretty proud that, you know, this team found a way to win a gritty football game. It was tough. The weather conditions were really nasty, you know, for parts of the game. But you know what? You know, opposite of years past, you know, this didn't always go our way.
It didn't always either not go their way. These are games other Bills teams have won, but I don't know how many times they started by winning 4 out of 5. And their defense seems super reliable. So, they have a pretty good team. They have an easy schedule. And they have a real chance. You know, the Bills, doesn't need to be said. The Bills have, most of these years, been in the middle. And I think this team could still end up, you know, in the middle. Like, they just could. All their games are close. They don't score. And, you know, they're playing teams that are beating themselves or are just not good. So we'll see. But what's exciting is they have the good record, and their schedule is almost funny. The Dolphins twice, the Jets again at home, Washington. They're already 4-1.
Denver in there. Denver's winless. They're winning today, but
right. Like, it might end up, we've been saying this, like, it might end up being hard for them to miss. I mean, you want this team to be able to score more and do more on offense, and maybe we see probably we do see the day where they're going to need that. But they had the Patriots here, and they were down. They lost by 6. They scored 10 points and lost by 6 in New England. I mean, the defense is really good. Next up, we have Pat. Hi, Pat.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Two things. One thing I really enjoyed about their play calling today, it wasn't always great, but they got away from it, it seems like, in the last few weeks, where they would have Allen come to the line with about 20 seconds to 15 seconds left on the clock and then let him kind of take a look at things before they get it down. Last week, there was way too many times that they, at home, let the play clock get down to, you know, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, then they burn the timeout. So that was one thing I really liked about the game today. And the officiating, you know, they talked about it briefly on the broadcast, but a huge call in the game that really could have been the difference was when the Titans were on their first touchdown drive, and they called Murphy for an offside when it was two players on the Titans that actually jumped, and that moved them from like a second and goal at the 13 to a second and goal at I think the 6 or 7. It was just a huge swing. They ended up scoring. Two plays later, Mariota took it, and then they ran it to Henry.
Well, you know, Pat, I mean, there were bigger calls than even that in this game that went both ways.
And then I was watching the Steelers game, and then there was just an awful, awful
roughing the passer against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, that's every week. What would you consider to be the most important of these calls today? That, I don't know, like the one on Mariota on the second, the touchdown called back, it was important, but it wasn't wrong. You know, what do we want? We want to just take the calls that we think may have been wrong or definitely were wrong, and then rank those. It wouldn't be an offside penalty to me. It would be the face mask or the holding on the first play took away a 28-yard pass and put them in first and 20, which, good luck,
right?
Especially if you're that team.
Ends up being a 3-and-out, and, you know, instead of being out at midfield on your first possession, and, like, you know, who knows how that goes from there. There was a missed face mask on a Jordan Phillips sack that didn't see it. Which is weird because it's the quarterback, and normally those things get seen.
And that's before maybe their first missed field goal or their second. One of their earlier – this is what kind of game it was. It was one of their earlier missed field goals,
right.
But set them back instead of first down in tight. Yeah. It was like a 50-yard attempt or whatever that was at that point. So, yeah, the officiating was a big part of this game today. But it often is if the game is close. Thanks, Pat. We'll take a timeout here shortly. Before we do that and get into more of your calls, let's take 10 seconds now for station identification along the Bills radio network. Welcome back. Only 2 4 o'clock Eastern games today. Green Bay at Dallas. Aaron Jones has 2 touchdown runs, and it's the Packers 14-0 at Dallas. And Denver scored twice early and leads the Chargers still. 14-0 is that score. The Chargers maybe setting up for a field goal here, 9 minutes to go in the half. That game could be really critical, too, for the Bills. Like, if the Chargers get another loss at home to a winless Denver team, everything is kind of going their way. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll take a break. 14-7 Bills over the Titans. This is Buffalo Bills football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.